Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us in this time together to meet with our Lord. And in fact, that's our whole purpose in these times, is for us to be able to come together, even though we're doing this in different times and different places, but for each of us to meet with the Lord, to hear from Him, to grow in Him, to know Him, to know His ways. And so since we've come here to meet with our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day, Lord, that You've given to us. Father, for the life, the living, and Father, most of all, for eternal life through Your Son. And Father, as we think about eternal life, spiritual life, walking with You, Father, I pray that You'll open our minds and our hearts to Your Word. Father, teach us Your ways. Lord, help us to know how to live in a way that pleases You, obeys You, and experiences You, Lord. Father, guide us as we open Your Word. Lord, give us understanding. And, oh, Lord, may we not just understand it with our head, but may we live it out, Lord, in our lives and in our daily walk. Be with us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope these times are a blessing to you. I hope that they help you in your life, in your walk, your relationship with the Lord. And that's really the whole reason that we're looking at the book of Psalms, because you see the godly life lived out in everyday life, the reality of a life of faith in everyday situations. And let's be honest, many times those situations are not very pleasant. Many times they're very, very difficult. That's exactly where David is as we open God's Word to Psalm 55. He's facing a major problem, a major issue in his life, and frankly, feels overwhelmed. Now, the background of this is during the rebellion of Absalom, his son. And you remember that as bad as that was, there was also an additional element of that. Several individuals, large portion of the nation, in fact, followed Absalom. But one of them in particular troubled David, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the wisest counselor in Israel. He was the man who was two jumps ahead of everyone else. And Ahithophel sided with Absalom. And his wisdom, his insight, his counsel, it greatly troubled David. And so, in spite of the fact that David was a king who had a coup against him, and that coup was being led by his son, and now his son has an ally in the wisest, smartest, sharpest man in the room, so to speak, David felt completely overwhelmed in that situation. And we can certainly see the effects of this throughout this psalm. Look at verses 3 through 5. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Look at verses 12 through 14. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and my familiar friend. We had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the throng. And so you see this close friend now, or at least someone that David thought was a friend, and now has betrayed David. We drop down to verses 20 through 21. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. And so David's in this situation. Again, a coup has been mounted against him. He's on the run. That coup is being led by his son. And the person who we in our day would refer to as the sharpest man in the room, the smartest man in the room, is now siding with his enemy, the one who's in fact turned against him, his own son. And so you can imagine how all this weighed down upon David. In fact, as David's response deep in his heart and his soul was probably like ours would be in this situation, and probably that all of us have felt in lesser situations. Look at verses 6 through 8. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Have you ever felt that way? Where you just wish that you could get away? You know, wherever that imaginative places for you. It might be the beach. It might be a cabin in the mountains. It might be a sheep ranch in Montana, whatever the case may be. You just want to be able to get away with it. But it doesn't work. Even if you could literally do it, you can never outrun your problems. And avoidance, it might be good to be able to step back from a situation for a few days, for a few hours, or maybe in a few days just to pray and get perspective. But you cannot make that a strategy long term. And so here is David, completely overwhelmed. What does David do in this situation? Running away will not help. Yes, deep in his soul, he probably wished he could get away. He would not want to get away from a coup led by their own child. But David had a much better response, and it's the response that we need to learn from David. And that's the fact in those times when we're just completely overwhelmed, when deep down we wish we could just get away from it all, those are the times where we need to trust God, put our complete trust and confidence in Him. And look at how we see this, the various levels that we see this in David as we look at this 55th Psalm. We see that, first of all, we need to trust God's hearing. God hears His children when they pray to Him. God hears His children when they call out to Him. Look at how David expresses this throughout this psalm. Look at verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Drop down to verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and He will hear my voice. Look at the first part of verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord. God hears us when we cry out to Him. God hears us when we pray to Him. Believer, and again, if you do not know Jesus Christ, I ask you to place your faith and trust in Him. But these promises are for believers. Believer, God hears you when you pray. Now, He might not answer on your timetable and specifically the way that you or I would, might think is the best way. But we need to understand He truly hears us. I don't mean to be disrespectful or irreverent in any way. But our God does not have a hearing problem. Our God has not lost any of His hearing. He's eternal. He's not old. He's eternal. His hearing is just as sharp as it's ever been, and He's heard every prayer that you've ever uttered to Him, even those under your breath. Even the prayer of the Spirit within you, He hears that. We need to trust God's hearing, the fact that He does, in fact, hear us. We look over at Psalm 116 in verse 1. And we hear this wonderful promise, I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. God hears when we call. I've shared before one of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 33:3, where God invites us. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Child of God, whatever you're going through, you can trust God, and you can specifically trust His hearing. He hears your prayer about that situation. He hears your groaning within when you don't even have the words to say. He hears the intercession of the Spirit. He hears you. We need to trust God's hearing. We also need to trust God's concern. God truly cares what you're going through. I read the very first part of verse 22 a moment ago. Let's look at all of verse 22 now. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. You'll cast your burden upon the Lord. You probably recognize that. It's quoted in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. But because David knew that God truly was concerned about him, David, in fact, could pray. You think about what we see in verse 2. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. Have you ever been that way, so burdened that even your prayer is distracted about the situation? But look at verse 16. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. You think about verse 18. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me. God cares for us. And by care, I don't just simply mean that He looks down upon us and says, gee, I hate they're going through that. I mean He cares enough to act, that this great God, unlimited in every way, cares enough about us to intervene and, in fact, to act. Believer, never doubt how much God loves you. or never doubt the fact that he's concerned about every part of your life. You know, Zechariah 2:8 says that he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. In all of this universe, we are what he loves. In all of his creation, we are what he dearly loves. And we can always trust his concern. Isn't that Jesus' point as he was preaching in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, and he talked about the birds of the air, the lilies of the field? God feeds the birds. He gives the lilies of the field the nutrients, the water, the moisture, the sun that they need. How much more will he do for us? And you think about God chose that picture of a father with his child to talk about his relationship with us. You who are parents or grandparents, aren't you more concerned about your children or grandchildren's problems than you are your own? You know, through the years of ministering to people, and whenever their children or grandchildren, sometimes great-grandchildren, go through problems, so many times they've made the point and said in so many words, I wish I could take their place. I wish it was me instead of them going through this. That is but a small picture of the perfect concern that our Father has for us. Never doubt his concern. We can rest in that concern. We can trust him because of it. We can also trust God's answer. Now, we read Psalm 55, and obviously it's another one of those imprecatory psalms, and those tend to trouble individuals. But we need to remember David's roles as he was in these situations and was being inspired to write these psalms and was lifting up these prayers. Obviously, there's a personal level here. There's his son leading a coup against him. There's someone whom he thought was his friend who was, in fact, now conspiring against him. There is that personal level. But, you know, on an even greater level, there's a national level here. Remember, David is the king. And that means that he is God's appointed government. There was not a constitutional republic like I'm so thankful that we have and I pray that we will preserve. There's not a separation of power. There is David. You know, he is both executive, legislative, and judicial branches of government. And this is not just a coup against David. This is a trying to seize the government and take over the government. This is a coup. This is, in fact, treason. And so David, while there's a personal level, David also has to respond to it on the governmental level. You know, I had a conversation not long ago with someone who described a situation with some distant members of their family, and there were two individuals, and I'll just call them person A, person B, and person B stole some things from person A. Well, person A was willing to let that go. They knew that person B had issues, problems, they were not going to make a big deal out of it. But unfortunately, person A had a government position. And some of the things that person B stole from person A was actual governmental property, very serious government property. And person A had no other option but to report it because of his role as a governmental official. David, as king here, has no other option but to operate as king. There's a deeply personal level that's breaking David's heart, but there's also his role as king. This was not just a crime and a sin against him. It's a sin and a crime against the nation of Israel. But then it goes even deeper. Not only is it personal, not only is it national, but it's spiritual, because David was the man that God had anointed and chosen as king over Israel, his chosen nation. This is actually an act of defiance and rebellion against God. And so David, as God's representative, has to then deal with it on that level as well. So sure, it's personal. But as we read this imprecatory psalms, understand, this is not about so much David personally. This is about his role as king, watching over the nation, and his role as God's servant, serving the Lord and dealing with the rebellion against God. And so we need to always remember those levels. And so that explains David's prayer. Look at verse 15. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. What's he talking about? The death penalty for treason, for mounting a coup against the duly established government and God's anointed government. Look at verse 23. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. David is in fact praying for God's perfect justice to work in this situation, especially against Ahithophel. What a model that is for us. We can trust God's answer. What he answers, how he answers, when he answers. Again, Jeremiah 33:3, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, those called according to his purpose. David is trusting God's answer, and we can trust his answer. Even in this overwhelming situation, one that if he had his way, he could just fly away and get away from, like us with so many of our problems. And yet he knew he could trust God. He knew that God heard, that God cared, and that God answered. And we can trust the same. And I hope with whatever you're going through today that you can trust God as well. Because he does hear you when you cry. He is concerned about you, and he will answer, and his answer will be perfect. We might not understand it now, because we do not, our minds cannot work on his level, but his answer will be perfect. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, and that, oh God, you are a God who is worthy of our trust. Father, you don't just simply tell us to trust you. Father, you show us over and over and over and over why that trust, oh God, has a basis. Father, I pray for everyone as we go through this, especially those who are going through some very difficult situation. Father, that you will guide them. Lord, that you'll enable them to rest in you, that you'll turn their eyes to you, that they'll see your trustworthiness and your goodness, oh God, as they never have before. Be with us through this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray that whatever it is that you're going through today, and even if you are like David going through a very difficult time, that you will know the Lord's trustworthiness, that you'll rest in him, and in spite of whatever may be taking place, that you can have a great day in him, irregardless of what's taking place.